Oh, hello everyone. This is episode 393 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and I'm a bit off my game because the live action adaptation of Death Note via Netflix hit today, August 25th, and I can't talk without pausing after every few words, apparently, because it is a disaster. It is a real hot mess. I watched it early this morning, made it about 30 minutes in, and just gave up. And then, I don't know how many hours later, I decided to just stick with it and endure it. And I finished it, and it was so bad. It is so bad. And it's bad on multiple levels. It's not just a bad adaptation. It is just a bad movie. And it is somewhat hard to say that because no matter how hard I try, I can't fully ignore the existence of the anime and the manga and my experience with those versions. But even so, like, it just gets so much of the thing wrong. And in part, it's because it's a movie trying to cram in. I'm not sure how much of the story it's trying to cram in. The first, just looking at the anime, the first half of it, because it doesn't completely conclude, or maybe the first 10 or so episodes, the first quarter of it. Because it does not conclude the storyline with L, but at the same time, here's the problem with Death Note, the Netflix version of Death Note. It is stupid. That is one of the biggest problems. It is stupid. It is not an intelligent series, and that is one of the great things about the anime. And I haven't read the manga. I own it. I still haven't read it, but I'm comparing it to the anime so that everyone is clear. But I love the anime. I think the last 13 or so episodes, the second arc, is weaker than the first arc, the arc with L, because that arc just had more time to breathe. It had more episodes. It had more time to breathe life into these characters and give it it had more time to flesh out everything. And the thing I loved about the series was that it was really smart, and the repertoire and the rivalry and just the back and forth between Light and L was wonderful to watch. And I think that arc is some of the best anime ever, and it's because you have these two very intelligent characters just moving back and forth ever so slightly. You think one is ahead and has the upper hand, but then the other one comes back with something that is surprising. And it wasn't always, you could probably guess what was going to happen, but you never really thought about it because it was just fun to watch them going back and forth, and their times when they would confront each other. But the live-action adaptation, specifically the Netflix one, is so weird because their version of Light is a whiny little bitch who doesn't seem to have very concrete motivations, doesn't seem to really have much motivation at all other than his love for Mia, who I guess is supposed to be Misa, which if she is, it is way off and doesn't make any sense, because she doesn't seem that infatuated with Light and wanting to be with him and help him. She seems to be way more interested in the Death Note and seems to be more of a terrible, conniving person than Light, which makes no sense. And Light is just this little pussy bitch who is he has no backbone. He has nothing. And in the anime, he is more of a Walter White type of character. Someone who seemed to be a good person. And then somehow, you know, through circumstances, you know, they differ in how they got their power. But they gained this power. He realized that he could cook some really good-ass meth and that people wanted his shit. And he's like, I can make so much money on with this, and I have this power and this ability to make this incredible meth. And Light is, you know, he has the power to take people's lives and control them to a point with the Death Note. But in the live action version, he is just this little whiny hipster emo bitch with horrible blonde hair, because he's clearly not a natural blonde, and I think he is horribly miscast. I mean, we're all just ignoring all the whitewashing issues. But I think, and I've said this before, that if they wanted to cast a white actor and do everything, like, I don't really care about that, because that is not the reason why the movie's bad. That's an annoying thing that just happens with these adaptations, but that is not why the movie's bad. But if they wanted to cast a white actor, and I know this is impossible because he retired, but I would have loved to have seen Jack Gleason, I think that's his name, in the role, the actor who played what's his face, the annoying Brat King who died in the fourth season or whatever of Game of Thrones. And if you're crying at me for spoiling that, well, too bad. That's like 3, 2.5 seasons ago at this point. Get over it if you didn't already know that. Whatever, go Red Wedding, guess what? Everyone dies at that wedding. Ooh. But yeah, I think he would have been a much better in the role. But if it was still written this way, the writing is terrible, it wouldn't have mattered, because Light doesn't seem to have this darkness to him. He just seems to be a scared little boy who gets this power, plays around with it, uses it, or because of it, gets to be with this girl who I guess he likes, who he reveals the Death Note to, even though he only just met her the day before that or whatever. And yeah, L is horribly written too, because L is supposed to be smart as well, and he's supposed to be fairly calm and collected. But he seems to be very scared and very nervous and doesn't have composure, gets very emotional, and just, he does not feel right. And that's disappointing as well. And I was not, there are a lot of people who were upset about that casting, but I was hopeful for it because I really like that actor whose name I can't remember, but he's done a lot of great work in some recent stuff, like his role in Get Out. But more specifically, I love him on Atlanta, which is a fantastic show that, God, I need the second season of that. But that portrayal is just a horrible decision. Everything about it, Ryuk, I thought, while Willem Dafoe, I was fine, and I think, you know, like everyone else, thought he was perfect for the role when it was initially revealed. I really don't like the way Ryuk looks in the series. I think he actually looks really weird, and not how I like. His face is too round and kind of looks punched in, like it has been smushed in against a glass or something. Looks a little bit more like a just evil clown than this menacing Shinigami. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, and this storyline is more motivated by this weird, not believable love between Mia and Light. And it just, ugh. It is such a mess, and there are so many moments in it where it just feels like you see this shot, and it's like, oh, this exists just because the director and everyone, they thought, like, wouldn't this be cool if we shot it and you see all these flower petals fly up in the air, or you open this door and then this dust blows and you just see all this, like, that would be so cool. Wouldn't it be cool? And the way they introduce the Death Note and Light's first use of it, he doesn't use it or really play around in it before Ryuk meets him and scares the crap out of him. His screaming in that scene is almost worth watching, or at least up to that point, Death Note, because he screams so high-pitched, like a little girl, and he does it multiple times, and his reactions and his face, it's just a misfire on all fronts. It feels like someone got the SparkNotes version of Death Note, and then someone wrote a SparkNotes version of that, and then gave it to the creators of this movie, and they saw that SparkNotes of SparkNotes, and they were like, this sounds cool, I'm gonna put my own spin on it and make a movie. And that didn't work out. Not at all. I do not recommend it for anyone, though. The thing I'm most curious about, and I'm going to tell my father to watch it, is to see what someone thinks about it who has no history with the series, the manga, and someone who is just normal person who doesn't, like, I would have no experience with it at all or know anything about it. So I'm curious to see if he likes it and if he's able to finish it. Though my father, when it comes to finishing something, he is a stubborn idiot and will finish almost anything. He's like, oh, I didn't really like it. Why'd you finish it? Why not? I'll finish it. But yeah, that was really disappointing, but not, you know what? I will say it was an unexpected disappointment, because I thought it probably wouldn't be great, because it's a movie that's trying to cram in so much source material, and yeah. It also, the way it ends, which I won't spoil for anyone who may want to watch it, doesn't make any sense for the character either. It's really bad. And, you know, they leave it open, so you're like, oh, what did happen? Who cares? Even the fact that you leave it open is already just messed up. But, yeah, whatever. Speaking of Netflix originals and stuff, I've been on somewhat of a tear hitting things, since my movie backlog is pretty much empty, or I've taken a break from watching movies as well. Just, you know, I had some that I still need to watch, like Three Kings, which I've got in the mail a few days ago. But I watched the first three episodes of Glow, and I didn't really like it. It was sometimes really good, and then other times not so great. I enjoy the wrestling bits for the most part, but I hated all the personal life drama. I thought Alison Brie was very unlikable, and I did not enjoy any scenes that were really about her. For the most part, the reason why I watched and kept watching the first three episodes and didn't give up after, you know, one or just two, was that I really liked Marc Maron on the show, which is surprising because I don't really like him all that much outside of the series, but I've only really experienced him through his podcast, and I just never found him to be that great of an interviewer, and maybe he's better in other senses, because I just, when he's interviewing someone and on the podcast, it just was like, oh, he's kind of a douche, and he's kind of a douche in Glow, but it works for that character. It makes a lot of sense. You know, I just think when you're interviewing someone, douchiness is not the greatest trait. And maybe, you know, it was just a few bad episodes. I never really stuck with it that much. But yeah, I thought he was fantastic on Glow. But the rest of the show just didn't do enough for me to keep me interested in watching more. I watched the first two episodes of the, of not the, but Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I thought it was more like Unbearable Kimmy Shit. But that's more of a series that just isn't for me. I feel like it's a series for people who love Juno, and I am one of the few who thought Juno was an overwritten piece of garbage that was just trying too hard and was too quirky for its own good and didn't have any sense of reality within it, even though it wants you to think it is. And a lot of people who love it do. They're like, oh, it's so real. No, it's not. It's so full of shit, Juno. And I think Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is overwritten and trying too hard. And I find her to be exhausting, her incredible enthusiasm, and how it's just too much. I think I compared something to this in the past, but it's sort of like a really, really hyper young chihuahua or something, a very small dog that is just super, super hyper and won't shut up and leave you alone. And some people love that. I don't. I find that exhausting and annoying, and I just can't take it. And I can't take Kimmy Schmidt. She's just unbearable for me. She's very, very breakable. I watched Friends from College, the first episode, and that was enough for me to say hell. I was done after a few minutes because it would be better if they titled it. It would be more accurate if they titled it Pieces of Shit, Assholes, Pricks, and Other Things from College, because they're all just horrible people in various ways, and I don't want to watch a show about a bunch of horrible people that I in no way feel any connection to or care about. And it sucks because there are a lot of good actors in it, and it's just a waste of them. I watched Master of None, the first season, and I really liked that a lot for the most part, but I think his parents are awful. I think it's sweet that he put his real parents in the show, but that doesn't stop the fact that they're not good on camera. They're really not good on camera. And thankfully, they're not in the series that much. If they were a big part of the show, I would not be able to watch it. But other than that, I really like it. I think it's a nice, sweet little thing that surprised me, because I was worried the first few episodes, but I quickly got over that it was going to be more like Louie or Curb Your Enthusiasm, where it's going to be another series about a comedian where it's basically his real life, and the funny is found in throwing him into these really, really weird situations that are uncomfortable and make you cringe. And while I think Louie and Curb Your Enthusiasm are really good shows, I can't watch those shows more than an episode at a time, or, you know, an episode every week or so, because they're so heavy for me to watch, because it's just watching a show where you're just like cringing the whole time, and like, it's a bit much to binge. But Master of None is just a really sweet thing that has a nice sense of reality and feels very grounded, which is a pleasant surprise. I also don't like his Asian friend in the show. I think he is not a good actor, and he comes across as, and I don't know if he is a stand-up, but he comes across as a stand-up whose acting style is to read every single line as if it was a joke. Like it's a zinger, and he's got a, you know, it just, his delivery is not good, in my opinion. And then I'm almost done with the first season of Lady Dynamite, and I really, really like it. I think the first episode is bad. I didn't like it, and I seem to be in the minority in that camp. But I think after that, it gets its footing, and I'm a fan of Maria Bamford, and I just think, of all the series I've watched, it's the one I'm most happy to see from Netflix, because it is a series that I don't think would have as good a chance as the other ones to actually be made on a regular network, because it is so weird and something that is not commercially viable in any sense. I think it's something that could turn off a lot of people. But if you are a fan of her humor and you know her life and some of the struggles she's had, I think it really does a good job of showing all that and showing her humor as well. It's a different show, and I think something that should definitely be checked out by everyone, because I think there are a lot of people who may, I don't want to say a lot of people, but there are people who may like her humor and just don't really know her because she's not a huge name in comedy. But other than that, I think that's pretty much all the Netflix jazz I watch. And then I've played a few games, and I'm going to talk about them right now. So I got a code for Circuit Breakers, got on Xbox One. It's also on PlayStation. And it is, I'm going to read the description from the site. Circuit Breakers is a fast-paced, multiplayer, top-down shoot-em-up. Get together with five of your friends and fight to rid the universe of an intergalactic robot army, or compete against them and rid the universe of each other. Far in the future, advances in artificial intelligence have created the first truly sapient AI. First, short for First Intelligent Robotic System, Model 2 System. I don't like this description. It is basically a top-down twin-stick shooter, an arcade game where you are thrown into various arenas of different shapes or whatever, and you will be bombarded with robots and tanks and various mechanical enemies who will be coming in via various doors on any side of the screen, and you have to just destroy them all and not be killed yourself until you're good to go to the next area. And the only thing you have to worry about is your health. You get 3 healths and then you lose a life, and I think you get 3 lives in each go in the arcade mode. And your weapons differ from character to character. So one character has a shotgun, one has a machine gun, one has, I think, maybe like a plasma rifle, stuff, etc. And you get these little ammo things from killing enemies, and also they'll be thrown out in some containers in the arena, or more energy than ammo. And as you collect them, you can use them to power a shield, which will protect you from projectiles, or you can use them as part of your weapon, and the more you have built up, the more powerful your weapon will be. And as you shoot your weapon and use ammo, you'll be depleting that energy, and as you deplete it, your weapon will degrade, your ability to use a shield will diminish, and yeah, it's pretty simple. That's all there really is to it. You're shooting on a point axis, so left, right, up, down, diagonals. And it's a really, really fun twin stick shooter. I enjoy it. It looks good. Pixel art. The music is fine, but after a point, it just gets really repetitive, and it's fine. Just, it's a good podcast game. Something that you can just turn down the music, mute the volume, and, you know, listen to something else while you destroy thousands of robots. The one thing I have an issue with is that I really wish there was online play. I wish there was online co-op, because while it's nice that there's local co-op, it'd be really nice if I could play it with other people online, especially since there is up to 6 player co-op, and I can't imagine ever getting 5 other people to play a game on my Xbox One, or any game on anything, except maybe the Switch, because I could take that somewhere and just, you know, let's all meet up here, and then we'll play a game on the smallest screen, and people are like, this is a terrible experience. But it'd be really nice if there's online play, and hopefully maybe it'll get patched in the future. But it's really fun. I like it. It's $10. I'd say it's definitely worth checking out if you like those arcadey twin stick shooters. And yeah, I think another just a few more issues I have with the game. I really wish there was kind of like a bomb, something that clears the screen of enemies that you could build up. It just, I don't know why. I just feel like those are a natural fit in games like this, and there are times when it gets so hectic on screen that I kind of just wish I had that ability. And I also just think it'd be a really cool effect to have a lot of enemies on screen and then have this superpower that you can use every now and again to clear the entire screen. That'd be fun. It would feel really good too. And then the leaderboard system is non-existent. As far as I can tell, you can only see who is the top of a leaderboard amongst your friends. It'll just show you the number one, and then it'll show you the best regular person, and then it'll show you your high score. And I don't like that. I can't see any way to see where I rank on the leaderboard in terms of like, oh, am I the 58th best in this particular level? Because there's a score attack mode as well, in addition to the arcade mode, the endless mode. And yeah, that's pretty much all there is to it. It's a very, very simple game. The one other thing, I've never had this with the game before, but when I loaded it up and I don't know... No, yeah, that doesn't make it. It said you have two saves for this game: one that's in the cloud, one that's on your console. Which one do you want? I couldn't tell which one was newer because it just gave me the date of the last save in those senses. It didn't give me a time, so I just assumed the one in the cloud is probably the most recent one. So I was like, give me the cloud one. I probably should have assumed that the one on my hard drive was the most recent one, because if the cloud one was the most recent one, maybe they wouldn't even ask me. So I picked the cloud one, and I lost a lot of... Well, actually, I think there had to be some kind of bug, because... Because then there's no save. I'm thinking about it right now, because I lost all my stats. It basically made it look like I'd never played the game at all. And I had to re-unlock challenges and all these crap things. That was frustrating. So if that happens again... Don't know what to do about that. That'll be a real annoying piece of poop. But then the other game I played is Caveman Warriors, which is available on PC, Windows, PlayStation, and Xbox One. I played on Xbox One. And this is a game where you can play by yourself or with three other people. Another solid couch co-op game. I'm not sure if this one has online play either. I feel like it doesn't. Which is frustrating, but I think it's okay. It's a side-scrolling platformer, action platformer, I guess. And the way it works is that you have four different characters. If you're playing with other people, then you won't be able to switch between all four of them. But if you're playing by yourself, you can switch between all four of them, like trying. And you just do that with the bumpers on the Xbox controller. And they all have various different abilities. One can throw a spear and can throw that spear into certain parts of the environment to create platforms to reach areas. Another one can rush and just build a lot of speed and break through rocks. And then there's another one who can make things dance or whatever. And then I don't know what the other one does. But... it looks fine. I'm not a big fan of the art style, but at least it's smooth. You know, it's not really jaggy or anything. And it plays well enough, but I don't really like the enemy AI. I think some of it is just weirdly designed. The level design isn't that great. And I think the inspiration is weird because I forget, there were other ones. I'm not seeing it all in this description. But they listed... I want to see... Wait, if I can find the Steam page. Because one of the inspirations is Super Mario Brothers, which doesn't make sense other than they're both platformers and you can jump on enemies to kill them if you want to not use your weapon. And then there's this cave woman-like enemy that throws, I believe, a tomahawk and moves back and forth and throws it in an arc and then jumps every now and again, like that one enemy that threw the hammer in Mario Brothers that I don't know what that name is, but he would be on like the special levels and that's the only thing that is like, oh, this, I guess Mario makes sense. But so inspiration, Castle Crashers, Metal Slug, Trine, New Super Mario, Joe and Mac. And the picture of the Metal Slug inspiration shows that you can get in a tank. I haven't gotten in a tank yet, so I they're very loose in terms of how these games inspired them. In the picture for the inspiration, Castle Crashers, it just shows a castle that's got like a little smoke coming out of the front door, which like I guess is like Castle Crashers inspired us because we have a castle in our game and it gets crashed and smoke comes out of it. And New Super Mario, because, you know, we've got a character with a mustache. That doesn't make sense in this picture. Joe and Mac, because he's holding a bone. Trine, because we could switch characters. That's the most apt inspiration and comparison, because you can switch between these characters that have different abilities, and you need to do that in order to reach different places. But one thing I don't like is that they all share the same health bar, but for each character, the health bar is longer or shorter. But regardless of when you're switching between characters, the health you have left is the same. That's annoying. But it's okay. I need to play more. But I'm not super sure about it. And yeah, so I'd hold off on that for now. It's available on Xbox and PlayStation already, I believe. Or no, it's coming out in September, I think. And it's available, I don't know. It's very weird, because I'm looking at the page with the info. Release date, 16th of May. On what platform? I don't know. On PC and like maybe that IO or whatever that indie site is. But it releases on Steam September 22nd. And then on Xbox One, it releases, I don't know. I'm playing it on Xbox One. I just wrote Xbox One-er. And it's $15. Yeah, it's coming out September 21st. So yeah. I need to play more of it. And I'll play more of it before it's out. And then I'll be able to tell you if maybe my opinion changes. But right now it's just, it's not doing much for me. I just not loving it. Which sucks. I'd like to love it. Because I think his heart is in the right place. And also, you know, to each their own. I don't think it's an awful game. I just think it's a bit of a misfire. But, you know, maybe it can change my opinion. I'll hope for that. I will hope for that. But anyway, that will do it for today's episode. At least Caveman Wars is not Netflix's Death Note. I'll give it that. It is in no way that. You know, if you want to watch a better adaptation of a property, go watch the Double Dragon movie. Or either Street Fighter movie or the Dragon Ball Z live action movie. I think I would actually recommend watching that Dragon Ball Z live action adaptation with the son from War of the Worlds that who should have died at the end over Death Note. Oh god, it's such a disaster. Anyway, once again, I'm your host, Mark Eugenez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, My On My List, and Steam at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm The Kush 3. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts we have, including Pixelated Radio and the Pixelated Paranormal podcast. And you can also find the art I do there, which, if you'd like to see it all in one fancy schmancy place, go over to pxsart.com and check it out there and find links to where you can purchase all of them in print form there if you want as well, or not, whatever. And if you'd like to support the site in general and everything we do, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. And that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. And if you watch Death Note, I hope you all enjoy this podcast more than that movie. If you come back and tell me that you actually like the movie more than you like my podcast, then I will stop doing the podcast forever. That's not true. But if you say that, I will be very, very, very sad. Bye!